ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। सो हरि ओम् एवरीबडि, टुडे वी शाल् स्टार्ट् वित् अ लिटल् स्टोरी to sort of recap what we studied in verse 27, and then we'll go ahead. Some of you have heard this story from me. It is Gurudev's story, but I think it's relevant here. And the name of the story is the elephant story. So it is said that there was this little 5-year-old kid who went to his father one day and asked, "Daddy, Daddy, how does rain happen?" So father, being an intellectual, you know, a very learned person, said, "Oh, sure, son, come and sit down. Let me explain the theory of evaporation and the theory of condensation to you." So there is this huge ocean upon which shines the very bright sun, because of which the waters of the ocean evaporate. They go up, the vapor goes up because hot air rises, forms the clouds, and then condenses to come down as rain. And the five-year-old child said, "Huh? What was that?" So the grandmother, who was also very intelligent, was listening from the kitchen. Because this is Gurudev's story, this is the South Indian mother-in-law who was in, this Gurudev's, not mine. So this is the South Indian people. And so the mother-in-law is in the kitchen, and this is happening in India. So the son-in-law is there and the mother-in-law is there. So grandma hears it and says, come here, baby, I'll tell you exactly how rain happens. And she calls him into the kitchen, the child, and tells him, "There is this giant elephant who is sitting in the heavens." "Really?" "Yes. And that elephant is sucking up all the water from the ocean in his giant trunk and then spraying it all over the globe, all over the world. And that is how rain happens." And the child was totally impressed. Said, "Grandma is so intelligent, and she's the one that knows. What does Dad know? Dad knows nothing." And he runs away. So when such a child comes to us and says, "Who created this world? Who created this world?" Because he knows he didn't create the world. He was born into the world. So who created the world? Then we say, God created the world. You know, you saw that pot maker yesterday at the fair who was making the pot. Just like the pot maker makes the pot, God creates the world. And the child is totally happy. Hey, no questions asked. Okay, now I know the answer. He goes off. But then it's a child and it's going to grow. So the child grows. And then after a few weeks, months, years, depending on the evolution of the student, the child starts thinking, wait a minute. The pot maker though had clay to make the pot. So what exactly did God have to make the world? Because he now has come to know that the pot maker needs something. It's not just the pot maker. Pot maker needed some material. And he had the clay, and that's how the pot came about. Then how did the world come about? What did God have? So he comes back. He says, hey, listen, you told me that God created the world. Okay, fine, I believe that. What material did God have? And then we tell him, very good question. You thought about it. Smart kid, smart person. You know, God has this material called prakriti, and this with this prakriti, God creates. But prakriti is slightly different from clay, because prakriti and God are one and the same, and then prakriti is the material, and she goes out and she creates the world, and God permits. And therefore, we call it as abhinna nimitta upadana karana. It's not different. In the case of the pot maker, which I told you previously, when you were not as mature, the pot maker was the efficient cause. The clay was the material cause. They were both were different. But in case of God and creation, it's a little bit slightly different than that. God and Prakriti are abhinna. They're not separate. So upadana material, nimitta efficient. In case of the creation, the efficient cause and the material cause are one and the same. And the child is happy again. Yay, I got my answer. Goes away, few more years pass. Now that he has grown up and he is now reading the Upanishads. And the Upanishads are saying that God is changeless. God is changeless. It doesn't modify, doesn't decay, doesn't get destroyed. So he starts thinking again. Wait a minute. Okay, I can understand Prakriti and God, but then Prakriti modifies. And if Prakriti and God are one and the same, you said they are abhinna, they are not different. That means God modifies. That then Upanishad is saying God doesn't modify. So how do you say that God, Prakriti creates, Prakriti modifies and creates, but Prakriti and God are one and the same, because you're telling me abhinna, but then that means God changes. God is changing to create this world. So he comes back and he asks the question again, how exactly has God created this world? And then we tell him, yesterday when you walked into the room, it was not very well lit, remember? Yeah, I remember. And there was a rope in the corner, and you thought there was a snake, did you not? Yes. And then I walked in and turned the light on, and then you came to know the rope. So what happened there? You saw the snake, you were afraid of it for a minute, but was it really there? It wasn't there. It was a superimposition on the rope. So how does it happen? Prakriti is to be understood as a superimposition on the creator. So Prakriti was the snake ever there? No, it wasn't there. I saw it, but it wasn't there. It really wasn't there. It never was. It never will be. But in between, I experienced that snake and I was afraid. Same way, there is this creation which was not there before. There was only the creator before. And afterwards, there will only be the creator. And in between now, you are experiencing the creation as you experience the snake for a little while. And this creation is nothing but a superimposition on the substratum. When the superimposition is negated, if I think, and how do I negate the superimposition, is from the previous verses where Bhagwan said, Sankhya Yoga, by the discrimination. So when I keep discriminating the superimposition and negating that superimposition, discriminating between self and not self, if I think that there will be nothing when I say I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this, if I think that I am nothing, then I have not understood Nirgun Nirakar Upasana. This is Nirgun Nirakar Upasana. This is how Nirgun Nirakar has to be understood. That there actually the creation is nothing but the creator. And there is a creator. You cannot say there is nothing. It is not like an onion that you peel, 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 and there's nothing. Scriptures give us the example of munja grass. Munja grass is a grass which you peel the layers, and a sweet stalk is there in between, in the middle. That is how it is. And sanyoga tad viddi bharatarshava. Kshetra kshetradnya sanyoga. This is how the sanyoga is happening. Sanyoga, coming together. Prakriti and Purusha. Kshetra and kshetradnya. Kshetra prakriti, kshetradnya, Purusha. This is how they come together by way of a superimposition. And that's why Gurudev has straight off gone into this explanation of this verse, talking about superimposition, which is the highest level. So the one who is at that level can understand that. But if not, then we have these levels. So understand it at any level as per your evolution. Even if you understand it, that creation, the simplest example that I gave you, food cannot be cooked without electricity plus range. Even if you understand that, there cannot be a creation without God and Prakriti. Only God, no creation. Only Prakriti, no creation. Sanyoga. That is also one Sanyoga at one level. Then understand that this two are not separate. Electricity and range are separate. Clay and pot maker are separate. But Prakriti and Purusha are not separate. And finally understand that Prakriti is only a superimposition. So when we question, oh, but when you say there is Prakriti and Purusha, there are two, there are not two. There is a lit, that understanding it as two is a slightly premature understanding. The most mature understanding is to understand that there is nothing but the self. There is nothing. The creation itself is the self. And if you can understand that, if you can grasp that, then Nirgun Nirakar has been truly understood. Okay, this is a synopsis of this verse. And we'll go ahead now. Unless there are any questions. Everybody clear on this? Okay. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishthantam parameshwaram vinashyat swavinashyantam yapashyati sapashyati. He sees, who sees the Supreme Lord existing equally in all beings, the unperishing within the perishing. So yah pashyati sapashyati. The one who sees what? Sees what? So samam, this word has come again. Many, many times it comes. I told you samata, equanimity. Here, this samam word, there are two connotations to it. One is we can take it as a negation of the Jain school of philosophy. The Jain school, the Jains believe that, yes, there is an Atma, but the Atma is small in an ant and big in an elephant. So the Atma is not samam. Why? Because it is small and it is big, and in medium-sized beings, it is medium. So in a tall person, the Atma is tall. In a short person, Atma is short. But Vedanta says, no, that is not correct. It is samam. So that is first. This can be understood like that. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu. Bhuta here, all the jivas, all the beings, not just humans. So bhuta means humans, animals, plants, stones, everything. So even in the inert world, this tishthantam parameshwar, tishthantam stays, parameshwaram purusha is same. It's the same. It's equal. It's not like there is more atma in somebody, you know, and then less atma in somebody. It is exactly the same. And therefore we have Bhagavan Shankaracharya giving us Manisha Panchakam, saying right from Pippalika to Brahmaji to Stamba Parenta, or Brahmaji to Pippalika, both are used. Brahmaji is the highest exalted being, and Pippalika is an ant, or Stamba is a blade of grass. So right from the blade of grass or an ant, right up to Brahmaji, Atma is the same, Purusha is the same. This is Samam. Samam means unqualified existence. It is the existence principle, the conscious principle within us, which is the Purusha, is unqualified. That's why the virtue was given amanitvam, because mana is we are qualifying ourselves. When I say that I am a female, when I say that I am 5'4", when I say that I'm intelligent, when I say that I am sentimental, I'm compassionate, I'm kind, whatever is beyond I am is a qualification of that I. And as long as we keep qualifying ourselves, I'm a good meditator, I'm a bad meditator, I'm whatever that I qualify myself with, I am that much away from the reality. So unqualified existence means what? Means only I am. That's it. This is what it is. Non-specific existence or non-qualified. So when I specify myself as I am Jaya, the mother of two children, the this member of the mission, this thing, that thing, whatever that I qualify myself, it is known as a corrupt intellect. The intellect is corrupted. When I think that I am Jaya, because I am actually that unqualified existence, but I think I am, and therefore I get hurt. So when somebody doesn't, you know, whatever. So samam sarveshu. So this samam has to be understood as unqualified existence is what is staying. Tishtantam parameshwaram. This samam is parameshwaram, and he stays in all the bhutas, in all the beings. Very, very important. That's why it's the same in a dog and a cat and a reptile and, you know, and a human being and in Brahmaji also. It's exactly the same. Vinashatsvam vinashantam. So in the perishing, the one who sees the unperishing, this Parmeshwaram, this samam Parmeshwaram, this existence principle is the non-perishing aspect of this perishing world. We say the tree is. Then we say the branch is, because I cut a branch of the tree. So the branch is. The branch I burn, the ash is. The ash I put in the water is. So what has happened here is that tree, which is a form, and that form has been given the name of a tree, changed, the form changed to become branch, and the name, the form changed, it one part of it was cut, so the form changed and the name changed from tree to branch. Then the branch was burned and the form changed from a solid piece to some ashes, and the name also changed with the form. Name and form go hand in hand. So when the form changes, the name also changes, and that is what is vinashatsvam. So names and forms are the ones that are perishing or changing. And so tree, then there was branch, then there was ash, and then there was water. So this name changed because the form changed. So name and form went hand in hand, because when it was a branch, we don't call a branch a tree. And when we burn the branch, we don't say, oh, this is the branch, you know, this ash that you see, the pile, whatever that you see, that is a branch of a tree. We don't say that. And that ash, if anything, everything burned to ashes, it could be any ash of a tree, of a dog, of a human being, it'll be the same. Now, the name and form is changing, but the isness is not changing. Isness is the substratum of the tree, of the branch, of the ash, and the water. And that is avinashyantam. So vinash, what is perishing, what is become vinashati, is the name and form. But in that perishing of the name and form, if I can see that unchanging substratum, that is the person. Yah pashyati sa pashyati. The one who sees that substratum is the one who really sees that nirgun nirakar Brahma, really knows that nirgun. It can never be seen by the eyes. So the one that knows the unchanging substratum in this changing world and changing names and forms. It's like you go for a movie and then you're seeing the movie on the screen, but the one who remembers that there is a screen behind and also remembers that without the screen, the movie could never have been seen. Unless there was a unchanging substratum behind in the theater, we could never have seen the movie. unless there was sand, the water, mirage water, could never have been seen. So only on an unchanging substratum can you see the change of the names and forms, the dance of the names and forms. We ourselves are the proof of this. You must have heard many people, I have heard, people have told me, inside, I really don't feel any different. Right from childhood to today, does anyone feel inside that they've gotten old? They don't. And because that core within remains unchanging, that is why I even have the memory of my childhood body, young body, youth body, middle age, old body. All these changes that are happening in the body are the vinashat. That is what is perishing, changing. Change and perish is same, because some cells have perished and therefore now new cells have come. Therefore, the body has changed. And I am the one that is recognizing the change. So I have to be unchanging. Because if I also was changing with the body, think about it. I was in a small body, in a baby body. Now that baby grew and then I also within grew. Then who will remember that baby body? Because that inside also has become big, has become middle-aged, has become old along with the body. Now, how will I know? How will I remember that I was like this? Therefore, people say, I used to cook so much. I used to do so much. And now I can't do anything. I can't walk. How do you know that? Because there is an unchanging substratum within. And that unchanging substratum, if I can see, that is unqualified existence. It is non-specific existence. It is only I am. It is nothing beyond that. Nothing beyond I am, if you add, it is belonging to the world of Kshetra. So that substratum, when one sees, he's the one that really sees. Okay. Now, question arises is, what is in it for me? Why should I even bother seeing this? Why can't I just be in the changing names and forms and be excited? Even Gurudev, and this is from the Bhasha also. To eulogize this right knowledge by indicating the result of its possession. So the knowledge is being praised so that, we may want to go after that knowledge. Because otherwise we'll keep saying, so what? It's okay. If birth after birth, I will go on changing. Why should I do this? So that we don't say that, Bhagwan is now saying, samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavasthitam ishwaram nahi nastyatmanatmanam tato yati param gatim. Because he who sees the same Lord everywhere equally dwelling destroys not the self by the self, therefore he goes to the highest goal. So destroys not the self by the self. Please, there is a difference in the two selves. There is one with a capital S and one with a small s. Please note that. Okay. So he destroys not the self with a big self means the Purusha. Now, the question is, can the Purusha ever be destroyed? Because we already said it is changing and imperishable. So the Purusha really cannot be destroyed. But it is the same thing when we talk about dharma or virtues. When we say dharma will get destroyed, or when Bhagwan in chapter 4 said, whenever dharma starts declining, then I take avatar. Yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. It doesn't mean that dharma itself declines. What it means is the faith of the people in that dharma is declining. So Bhagwan takes avatar to restore the faith. He doesn't have to do anything to dharma. Dharma is always there. Same way, the self is always there. It is imperishable. It is unchanging, unmodifying. But if I don't see it, or I don't recognize it, or I don't even know that it is there, then it is as good as destroyed for me. But the one who sees it, that's why in the previous verse, he sees who sees. So the one who is seeing that unchanging substratum in the changing names and forms, then he doesn't destroy the self. He doesn't destroy the self means that self is available to him. He has faith in that self. He knows that it is there. And of course, the one who realizes, there's no question. But even us, intellectually, when we understand, here it is, it's my favorite example is the flu shot. You see, the flu virus is always there in the atmosphere. It will always be there. But when I take the flu shot, then I have as though killed the flu virus from myself. Okay? The flu virus can never be killed. Actually, virus is inert. So virus cannot, but forget that. But the flu virus in the entire atmosphere, if they could have cleaned up, then we would not have needed to take flu shots. But we need to take flu shots because nothing can be done about the virus in the atmosphere. So that doesn't get destroyed ever. But for me, it is destroyed because I am now protected. So same way, the self never ever gets destroyed. But if I take a, you know, Purusha shot, and then I'm vaccinated against Purusha, so I'm not going to believe in God and God is not there and I don't see that unchanging substratum, then it is as if that substratum is not there for me. That is what he means here. So samam pashan hi sarvatra samavas. So again, samam word is coming. This word has come many, many times in Bhagavad Gita. Pashan hi, the one who sees this samata, this unqualified existence, this non-specific existence, this unchanging substratum in this changing world, in the changing kshetra, which includes our own body, mind, and intellect. Please remember that usually when we say kshetra, I am here and all this is kshetra is my understanding. No. This body also is falling under kshetra because it is changing, it is seen. So the one who sees that sarvatra samavasthitam Ishwaram, it is present in all equally. Even when we talk of Duryodhan and Arjun, the Atma was equally present in both, but the Upadhi was defective. When we have given the example, I've given you the example appliance. My appliance gets old and doesn't function well, but electricity, nothing is happening. I don't say that electricity became defective. You know, my microwave is not working properly now. I never say that. I never blame electricity. My electricity is perfect, but something has gone wrong with my microwave. So that way, we have to see this, that the upadhi is defective. The upadhi is because of the gunas, whatever. And the one who sees that this change is happening in the upadhi and not in that, does not kill the self by the self, the smaller self. So ego. The big S is Purusha and the small S is ego. So if I don't recognize it, and such a person only will go to the goal. See, if I don't even know that there is some substratum, Purusha, God, will I even try to go there? I don't know, or I say I don't believe, then will I even try for that? No. So the person who believes, who knows, who sees that substratum will go for the goal. And param gatim, param supreme, two connotations. One is that there is nothing beyond that. And the second is that it is a point of no return. So all the worlds that we see, the seven worlds above and the seven worlds below, they are all a point of return. And that's why Bhagwan in chapter 2, Bhagwan has already said that you will get heavens, Arjuna, no effort you have to do, you will get the heavens. But it is a point of return, so don't go for the heavens. Go for moksha, which is the highest. So this is, he is the one that gets real. In our language, we would say that I realized. It's a realized master. Yati tato tataha hi yati param gatim. He reaches that supreme abode, means he realizes his own self. But first you have to have faith that that self is there, na, to realize it. That's why. Okay. And if I don't see this supreme reality in this birth, then I'm going from birth to birth or death to death, like Kathopanishad says. So then the self is not there, it is only prakriti. I'm just going through this birth to birth. Okay. Now, prakrutaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvashaha yapashyati tathatmanam akartaram sapashyati. Who sees that all actions are performed by prakriti alone and that the self is actionless. This verse was explained in 30 verses in chapter 3, but we'll explain it again. It has come again. Bhagwan says, what we have to understand is that the action that is happening is only because of prakriti. See, the substratum cannot modify, cannot change, cannot do anything. It is not a doer, it is not an enjoyer. But we see actions are happening. Like I am speaking, you are listening. Actions are happening all the time. So how are these actions happening then? They are happening because of the play of the gunas, which are sattva, rajas, and tamas. And prakriti is sattva, rajas, and tamas. These three gunas cannot be created and neither can they be destroyed. I've told you that we say that tamas is not good, but tamas can never become zero. None of the gunas can ever become zero. Their percentage can be managed. And the way action happens is tamas is required. So take the action of speaking. So for speaking, I need my vocal cords. I need my throat. I need my body, which is tamas. Why? Because body is inert. So body is tamas. Then the actual act of speaking is because of rajas. That rajasic quality that I have within me. Everybody has all three. That's why I'm telling you. Everybody has all three. There's no this thing. What predominance is there, that is different in individuals. Like some may be predominantly sattvic, some predominantly rajasic, some predominantly tamasic. But an action, the way it happens is tamas is there. Rajas has to be there for even the words to come out. It is rajas. And what words come out is dependent on the knowledge that is in my mind, and that is coming from sattva. That is how this sattva, rajas, and tamas, they interact with each other and action happens. If I were to give you an example of cooking, so you need the material, okay, first, which is tamas. So whatever, if you're cooking rice, you're cooking dal, whatever, that material is required, which is tamasic. The actual doing. So if you're cooking rice, then actually you have to take a pot of water, take a pressure cooker, or wash that rice in. That is rajas. And know-how, how much water should I put? How many minutes should I put the pressure cooker? How long should I cook the rice for? How long should I cook the dal for? Or whatever, I have to grind the dal and then make something. That knowledge is sattva. And this is how every action is happening. And these three together are known as prakriti. But prakriti cannot act without the supreme reality. Just like the range cannot act without electricity. The range cannot function without electricity. So prakriti cannot function without the supreme reality. Please know this. So in the presence of the supreme reality, these three gunas interact with each other and an action comes out. Now what happens here is there is Purusha who does nothing. There is Prakriti who modifies and action comes out. But there is an imposter in between who takes ownership of the action and says, I did it. And that imposter is the ego. And that is where that differentiation, the viveka, has to happen there. So when an action comes out which is good, I don't take credit. I must understand. That is Sankhya Yoga. That is that discrimination that we talked about. When an action happens, I should immediately come to know that, okay, this was a play of the gunas and it happened in my presence. It happened in my presence, but I didn't do it. That has to be understood. What happens is we forget that it happened in my presence. When I say it happened in my, then the M is capital. So in the presence of the supreme reality, this has happened and I am the supreme reality and I have got nothing to do with this. That's why if I have nothing to do with this, I'm not nothing. I'm the supreme reality. But in between, when I say I did it, that is the mistake. That is the mistake. So that's why he says, yah pashyati tathatmanam akartaram. The one who sees that supreme reality is a non-doer. The one who thinks that he is the doer is the ego, is the jivatma. And that is not correct understanding as per Vedanta. That is not correct understanding. I did it. The understanding that should rise is that in my presence, these gunas interacted and now this action happened. So it may be cooking, it may be driving, it may be shopping, writing, speaking, listening, whatever that action has happened in my presence. I have got nothing to do with it. But just because I say I have got nothing to do with it doesn't make me nothing, because Supreme Reality, I am Supreme Reality. So never have the thing that if I say this is not me, this is not me, I'll be nothing. That is incorrect. That is Buddhi Shuddhi Madins. That is their philosophy, but that's not ours. That's why he's the one who actually sees that all actions are performed by Prakriti. But we must remember that Prakriti cannot function without the presence of the Supreme Reality. And that the self is actionless. So the self doesn't do anything. Okay. All right. Yada bhuta pradag bhavam ekastham anupashyati tata eva cha vistaram brahma sampadyate tada. When he, a man or a woman, sees the whole variety of beings as resting in the one and spreading forth from that one alone, he then becomes Brahman. So he becomes Brahman means he realizes that he is Brahman. This is how you can, in 14, that's why the description will come of the Gunatita Purusha. The Gunatita Purusha is one who is constantly discriminating that whatever is happening in this world is a play of the gunas. And I have got nothing to do with this. In my presence, it is like the sun. In the presence of the sun, everything is happening on the earth. But the sun has got nothing to do with it. The sun does not get merit for satsang. The sun does not get demerit for a theft. That is happening in his presence. Both are happening in his presence. But the sun has got nothing to do with it. Sun's nature is to shine. So the sun shines. Then in that sunshine, whatever people want to do, they can do. And just because they did good or they did bad, the sun doesn't get contaminated. The sun never gets tainted. Same way. That's why this one, when this person sees this entire world as resting in the substratum, means recognizes it as a superimposition. He recognizes it as a superimposition. Then he is known to have realized Brahman. He is known to have realized the Nirgun Nirakar Brahman. Because that is the real form. Ultimately, that is Sagun Sakar is there, but Sagun Sakar is only a step to Nirgun Nirakar. It has to ultimately end in Nirgun Nirakar realization alone. So therefore, he says here, how does a man see that? That is the steps that Upanishad has given us. So the first is Shravanam, Mananam, and then Nididhyasana. So Shravanam is when we listen to the knowledge. Mananam is one aspect of Mananam is what we will be doing after this, is that we'll be discussing these verses. That is one aspect of Mananam. One aspect is you can do it alone. You can think about your doubts. You can think what the teacher has told you and then churn it in your mind. That also is an aspect of Mananam. But the real Mananam happens when you actually go out into the world. So Adhyatma Nityatvam that we have talked about, when you go into the world and then you go through the different experiences, in those experiences, if you can constantly do the discrimination of self and not self, that is the Mananam. Because for householders, for people who are working, you cannot sit with a book all day long. Or you cannot just sit and think about what is being taught, but what you have heard, when you bring it out into the world, means in practice. That is one aspect of Mananam. That is Adhyatma Nityatvam. So that Mananam has to be done. And then when the mind is perfectly in balance, when does it come in balance? When the mind is very convinced that the world is an illusion. See, we have heard this. Now we just heard superimposition, right? The snake is a superimposition. The world is, but we don't have full faith in it. We still have, is it really like that? Is this world really false? So Mananam is, Mananam thinking. So you can sit at one place, but how long can you sit at one place? Especially as householders, right? We have got work to do. So go out into the world. And there try to bring this knowledge in. That is manana will happen. Those who have time, they can sit and they can do as well. Now,
anadityat nirgunatvat paramatma yavmavyayaha sharirastopi kaunteya nakaroti nalipyate.
Being without beginning and being devoid of qualities, the Supreme Self, imperishable, though dwelling in the body, O Kaunteya, neither acts nor is tainted. Kaunteya word we have heard many times. Son of Kunti is Kaunteya. So, anadityam, we have heard this word, no beginning. The Supreme Self it's a causeless cause of this universe. So, there is no cause. So, that's why no beginning. Nirgunatvat, it is beyond the sattva, rajas and tamas. It doesn't have, that's why I told you, it's unqualified existence. It is non-specific existence. It does not have the gunas, okay? The gunas belong to prakriti. And so it is, that's why next chapter will come, this gunatita purusha will come now, next time, next this thing. And the Supreme Self, Paramatma, is avyayaha, imperishable. We have seen this word also many, many times. It never perishes. It never changes. It doesn't have the six modifications that the body has. It is kshetradnya. We saw that in the first chapter, first verse itself, first two verses, that kshetra is that which is seen and changing and inert and therefore mithya, and kshetradnya is unseen, it's not seen, so it's unchanging, it is real, and it is real. So it's not seen, it's unchanging, seen. So avyaya is unchanging. Avyaya is it gets destroyed, you know, like avyaya. Kharch ho jata hai, bolte hai na Hindi mein. Kharch, it's spending. Avyaya is like you spend your money, so it reduces. Like that, this via word. So avyaya means it never becomes small, big. It doesn't become. Now, staying in the sharira means in the body, within the body, should not be taken as, okay, it's within the body and is it without, outside also, but we have explained that also many, many times, that yes, it is in the body and it appears, but there is consciousness in between the screen and me as well. So even though there is nothing, there is. The words that we need to understand here are na karoti na lipyate. So this self does not do anything, and na lipyate does not get contaminated in any way. There are two ways in which a thing cannot do and not get contaminated. One way is when the upadhi itself is called, the substratum itself is called as the upadhi. And the example for that is gold and ornament. So we call the ornament by a name, bangle, ring, whatever, but actually it is gold only, na? So upadhi, even though we call it a name, what is it actually? It is the material only, it is the substratum only. So, because there is no difference between upadhi and the substratum, can the upadhi ever contaminate the substratum? Can the ornament ever contaminate the gold? Na lipyate. So, there's one condition in which there cannot be any contamination. And the second thing where it cannot get contaminated is when the upadhi is a superimposition on the substratum. So when the snake is seen on the rope, can the snake ever poison the rope? Can the snake ever bite the rope? Can the mirage waters ever wet the sand? Can a murder on the screen that I see and there's all blood flowing, is that blood making the screen red? So the superimposition, na lipyate, na karoti, na lipyate, both is under these two circumstances. And therefore, when Bhagwan says na karoti, na lipyate, indication is that no, that whatever is happening is a superimposition on the substratum. So there is the substratum. Never ever think there is nothing. There is a substratum, but it can never ever get contaminated. Because either the substratum itself is being called by a name. So I call this computer, but I am calling existence only as computer because I'm saying computer is. That's why Gurudev told that foreigner, I see existence in the form of a tree. So the tree can never contaminate existence because tree and existence are one and the same. That's one way. Second way, it's a superimposition, like the snake and the rope or the mirage waters and waters. When an illusion is recognized to be an illusion, it can be discarded. Example, dream. Okay, so while dreaming, it is very real to me. And so I win a lottery or I get punished for a crime. But once I wake up, then that illusion, I come to know that it is an illusion. And then do I worry about my punishment, my death penalty that has been handed over to me? Or do I rejoice the lottery ticket that I won once I wake up? Right? So illusion, once it is recognized as an illusion, can be discarded. And what is not recognized as an illusion can never be discarded. So what is not an illusion is real. And in within myself, what is illusion is this body. Why? Because it has changed. If I say that this body is real, after 1 hour, actually, if I do a test, this body is not the same. If I say this body is real, then what happened to my baby body? Was that real? What happened to my young body? Was that real? So body is an illusion. Okay. But the one who is witnessing the illusion can never be discarded. Body can be discarded. That is what death is. Where the body is getting discarded. Because it is an illusion, it can be discarded. Otherwise, it could never be discarded. What is real can never go away. Like I gave you the example, tree is, branches, ashes, water is. Could you discard the isness? You can never discard the isness. You can discard the name and form. You can change it. Okay, so what is an illusion can be discarded. Once I come to know that it is an illusion, it can be discarded. As long as I don't come to know it is an illusion, I will go on. That's why in the dream, I will go on enjoying or having fear. When I wake up, it is. What is not an illusion can never be discarded. And an illusion being discarded is, you know what it is? Can I throw the illusion away somewhere? No. Because it is an illusion. There's nothing to throw, which means only knowledge can discard the illusion. The way to discard an illusion is only through knowledge. The way to discard the dream is only by waking up. There is no other way. There is no other way. That's why that waking up has to happen within me only. That's why the guru cannot do that, cannot wake up for me. That's why the guru only says, no, please wake up, please. He's begging us. But we refuse to wake up because we're very happy with the world of names and forms. We're extremely happy in this because we do not know that it is an illusion. We have heard it, but we don't have that firm conviction. The minute we have that firm conviction, we will discard it. We will. And as long as we don't discard the world, know that we have somewhere in the back of my mind, the world is real to me. It is not an illusion. So this is how you have to understand that the substratum, the Atma, never gets contaminated, never does anything. Okay?
Yeah, Ji, a question?
Yeah, sure.
Mohini here. For the time being, even though it is illusion, we know, but for the time being, the is aspect is there. Like I am, right? Mm-hmm. That aspect is there. That isness is there. Mm-hmm. This pen is in my hand. It is. So it is a reality for that time being.
Mm-hmm.
So it stops being real is when it dies.
Mm-mm. No.
Or when it changes. No, it will never die.
It is when you come to know that it is an illusion.
Oh, the knowledge.
Knowledge.
Okay.
When will the dream stop?
When you wake up.
Only when you wake up. One person who is dreaming and shouting, please save me from the tiger, tiger, tiger. There's a person awake standing in the room. What can he do? If he keeps telling, Are Baba, there's no tiger, there's no tiger. But that guy will go on screaming because he's dreaming still. Needs to wake up.
Jayaji, if we are a product of Prakriti and Purusha, and they're the same, they are the same, and we are a product of that. We are that. We are matter.
We are only the self. We are not the matter because there is no matter.
Isn't it matter and isn't it the two came together? They are one.
They are one. There is only the self.
And we are that one.
We are that one. That is to be recognized. But we are that one, don't recognize it as we are that body. We are that one should be recognized as we are that substratum.
But this body is a product of the one.
At one level, yes, at one level. That's why I gave you the elephant story. The highest level is to know that the body never is. What is the point of talking about an illusion? Whether it is, you know, this or that or whatever. Think. Any other questions? 32, how many do I have?
Patuja here. So I understand, I understand that we are the self and the body is not real. But then someone might ask, then why should we take care of your body? Why should I take care of my body if the body is not real?
Yeah, that also I've answered many, many times, because you need the body to reach the Supreme. You have not reached the Supreme. Mm-hmm. You know you are the Supreme, but you have not realized it. Mm-hmm. So for all the sadhanas that you have to do, you need the body. And that's why the body has to be taken care of.
Okay.
Even though you're not the body, you need to take care of the body because you need it. It's mm-hmm. like I'm not the car, but don't I take care of my car?
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Dharamji, you had a question? Yes. You have to unmute.
Yes. Jayaji, my apologies for asking this. What is knowledge and recognition? Because it is not unchanging.
What is knowledge and recognition for us? Yes. For us, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. For us, knowledge is to actually know, means to actually realize that I am that substratum. I am that Purusha. I am that Kshetradnya. That is, Gurudev used to call it as knowledge with a capital K. All other knowledges that we have, I have knowledge of physics, chemistry, mathematics, whatever, is with a small K. The difference between the two is that the knowledge with the small K is through the mind, through thought, whereas the knowledge with the big K is beyond the mind. So it's beyond thought.
Okay, so can I refer to that as awareness?
Yes.
Okay. That's
absolutely the same.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? We've got three more verses, 33, 34, 35. So I think we'll complete them next time because I can't complete them this time. Anything anybody else wants to say?
One more question, can I ask?
Yes, of course.
So the way to achieve this is, one of the ways is constant discrimination, as you said, Sankhya philosophy. This is Kshetra and I'm the Kshetrajna, and that will ultimately lead one to understand, to realize this. Okay.
Yeah. And now 14th, another method will come. That is also same thing, actually similar, but to complete, to recognize the gunas and to keep reminding myself that I am beyond the gunas.
Okay.
So Bhagwan will explain the manifestations of the gunas, how sattva manifests, how rajas manifests, how tamas manifests, and then recognize that this thing is manifesting because of my guna, but I have got nothing to do with it. And that they are my servants. They are under my control. I am not under their control.
So, Jayaji, so far, these methods are about thinking, about manana, right? So, as long as you do mananam about the same thing, which is, it's practically same thing, Kshetra and Kshetrajna. So, all these few shlokas are about the manana, nothing else.
All shlokas are to be mananam only. We have to think now. We have to hear the explanation and we have to think about the explanation. So,
and then the realization comes after we are into it totally.
We hope. Yeah. Hope and pray.
Okay. So knowledge is there, but realization is something else.
That's why there are two words that Bhagwan has used previously. I think some of you have come first year. Jnana and Vijnana. These two words Bhagwan has used previously in chapter 7. Jnana is when you hear. Vijnana is when you actually experience. So right now we have Jnana because Ravanam is giving Jnana. Na? When we hear, then we got the knowledge. But Vijnana will happen only when I myself recognize, when I go beyond thought. That's why I said this knowledge, you have to transcend thought. Anything that is coming through the medium of thought is knowledge with a small k. Please remember that. And that is knowledge of the ego. That knowledge is coming through thought that I am the one that did it. So immediately there, you know, it is the ego that is at play. So this knowledge has to come beyond thought.
But for practical purposes, in the life, we cannot go doing this all the time, can we?
No, outside, no. That's why we have the saying, na? Guruji has said, na? Outside drama, inside drama. So outside, you keep on playing your role, whatever role that you have, mother, father, teacher, whatever role is there, you play it to the best of your ability. But inside, you know that you are not the role. Swami Vidyaranya, that's why he gives the example of the actor who is an ordinary actor. He's an ordinary man. He's a husband. He's a, you know, father. Then he goes to the drama theater and then he has the role of a king. So the clothes are there. The clothes are not the king. The man is not the king, but that man wears the clothes of the king. And suddenly on the stage, he's like, I am the king. But he's neither the king. It's not that he's a role that is playing. So we also play the role. Whatever role that we have been destined to play, we play. But know that it is a role.
Yeah, that is for us to know. But if somebody else sees us doing two roles, double roles, one in the house, one in there, so it could be called hypocrisy.
Why are we worried about other people? I told you now, let the other people be. Khud ka dekho. Be selfish. Vedanta is self-analysis. Just think about your own self. Let them be hypocrites. Let them. Even we are hypocrites only. When I say I'm Jaya, it's hypocritical. I'm not Jaya.
Once you're clear in your mind, you're okay.
Yes. Right? In your mind, yeah.
In your mind, you're okay.
It's not only to be clear, it's also to be consistently clear.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. So practice will make it consistent. Na?
Yeah.
That's why we have the weekly satsangs and everything. Yes, Dharamji.
Unmute. Last year, you had mentioned the two types of thought very briefly. And looking at it, it appears as if one type of thought leaves behind residue which the next thought gets created, is triggered by the residue. This is all I can establish, these two types of thought, where one, the other type of thought ends and there's no continuation.
Inquiry, that I was talking about inquiry. When the inquiry is going in the correct direction, then that thought will give you an answer and it will end. But when it is becoming vikara instead of vichara, then you will just go in circles.
Okay, thank you.
Just a quick announcement. Abhimanyu, you are the one that knows Mr. and Mrs. Kapahi, right? You know Mr. and Mrs. Kapahi?
I've met them.
You've met them, right? Mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Kapahi?
Yeah,